I'd like to get in the teaching here, Sabina, and other people are talking. Thank you very much. Anybody take on a new job recently? All right, Scott. I'm thinking back that as I have taken on a new job, I'm given a position, and then I am given what? Job description. Right? I don't get a paycheck just as soon as I get a position, typically. It's like, okay, here's what we're expecting of you. And they might come in a different order. I don't know, however it works. But I thought that might be just kind of a cool lead-in to Ephesians chapter 4, because Paul spends three chapters giving us our position, and then three chapters giving us the job description. Chapters 1 through 3 are the calling. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, the conduct. Last week, it's been a long week. Last week, we looked a little bit at Paul's signature here. Paul, a prisoner of Christ. He was in prison. He had chains on him. Yet he didn't consider himself a prisoner of the Jews, nor of Rome, but of Jesus. It was a mark of his stewardship. It was a mark of his apostleship. And he often had it as he wrote to the various churches that we have record of. And I don't know if you can imagine, I don't know if Paul had kids or not. I've shared this before, just kind of this, your kid's friend says, so where's your dad this week? And you got to say one more time, well, it's in Philippi in jail today. You know, that's where he spent his time, yet he didn't sit there and feel sorry for himself. It was because of Jesus. So therefore, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, we went through verses 1 and 2 last week. Chapters 1 through 3 can also be looked at as God blessing his children, Jew or Gentile, with all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Chapter 4 through 6 is about our life while we're still here on this earth as believers in the Lord Jesus. Try to hear these next few words arranged this way. Chapters 4 through 6, it is about our privileged responsibilities, not our privileges. Chapters 1 through 3 was kind of about privileges. I didn't deserve it. This is what God has done. And now the privileged responsibilities. Having the truth of 1, 2, and 3 in our mind and knowing it in our heart, that's where he ended up with chapter 3. I pray that they would know what is even unknowable in the head. They would take it deep. Having this in our mind and knowing it in our hearts causes our responsibilities to make sense. Here's what God has done. Remember the balance beam, axios? Oh, that does make sense. To walk in a manner that's worthy of that calling. It also gives us what it takes to personally take up our bed and walk. Borrowing from that little story in Jesus' words in Mark chapter 2. The lame man, take up your bed and walk. This is what God has done for you. So similar it is right here. Because God has done this, he's invested in you, he is still investing in you. Now get on with the task. The remainder of this book, 4, 5, and 6, this is maybe a little too tedious, I'm sorry if that's the case, but it can be divided into three little sections, real simple to remember. One is called Walk This Way, two is Don't Walk This Way, and three is, can you guess it? Walk this way. Chapter 1, verse 4. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk this way. Walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling. The next division is down at verse 17, chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Don't walk this way. That goes down through chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Those are the divisions. That one ends in chapter 6, verse 20, and then it's just some personal stuff at the end, which is fun to look at as well. Walk this way. Don't walk that way. Walk this way. Within those divisions, there is rich, rich treasures of application. Coming to this section, we learn that life in Christ matters. I've been saying all along that the spiritual blessings being ours, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, and whether we care or not, the spiritual blessings, if you're a believer in Jesus, they're true for you, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, and whether you care or not. But now, whether we care or not, takes on a whole other dimension. If we do not care about others, then we fall under a guilty charge of sinful behavior. It does matter. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. Remember, he said, don't walk in this way. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. You know what I see him saying? They have an excuse. You don't. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Chapter 5, verse 3. But do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Chapter 5, a little bit lower, verse 11 and 12. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So if we belong to him, okay, if we belong to him, then his spirit is in us. Chapter 1, verse 13 solidly plants it there, the truth of that. If we belong to him, his spirit is in us, and that spirit is being grieved by bad behavior, wrong behavior, what God calls wrong behavior, not my opinion, how I feel about it, nor about somebody else's deceitful words. If God says it's wrong, and it's grieving his spirit. And we can rest assured, if his spirit is in us, that he will discipline us to bring us around to holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 8 down through about 11. However, if we are just going to do our own thing, not caring about others, then the implication is that we do not have the life of God in us. God alone can see the heart. I cannot point at somebody and say, not a Christian. God knows that. or if their behavior seemed to be pretty polished, oh, must be a Christian. I can't see that. If we go on in that non-caring lifestyle, it's an indicator that God is not in us. If you're feeling bad for acting bad, that's a good thing. Spirit of God is grieved and saying, pushing the guilty button. So deal with it. You deal with it. We're going to expand a little bit on verse 3 today. And again, there is so much packed in here. Verse 3, being diligent. Now I'm going to read from verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you, urge, beg, command. I would like to force you to do it, but you have to make the choice. I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, chapters 1, 2, and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. The coupled together F words. It is a human tendency when we have conflict in front of us to either flee or fight. Whereas God tells us to, two more F words, forgive and forbear. In chapter 4, verse 31, it's about forgiving one another. Right here in verse 2, forbearing. Forbearing is we put up with. We put up with. We allow somebody to be different. Dave's teaching right now in Sunday school on the tiers of truth and what kind of divides people out. The how-tos of ministry sometimes divide people out. How we do what we do. Should it be dividing us? Or should I say, you know what, God, maybe you've led them to do it this way while I'm doing it this way, and we forbear. And then where the person oversteps the bounds, we forgive. Now, there's a whole lot to that forgiveness, and I probably will run through some of that when we get to that word at the end of this chapter. Those are coupled together. You put up with and you release forgiveness. I was going to preach on verse 3, sorry. Forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there are some powerful, powerful words in here. The word preserve, the Greek word also includes the ideas of to watch over, to guard, to keep in custody. So, preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word bond, I'd never done this particular word study before. Bond comes from the Greek word syndesmos. Don't worry about remembering it. It will not be on a quiz. Syndesmos can be used to describe what glue does between two objects. I am a woodworker, for better or for worse. When a couple of pieces of wood are worked properly, the glue is put in there, allowed to dry, it forms a bond. That bond that holds them together is syndesmos. It can be used of the ropes that secure a prisoner. Bond. And we've heard that term. We've used that term. But, catch this one. This is, to me, a wonderful, rich understanding. The word is first to be understood as the ligaments by which the members of the human body are united together. Thus, the sections of the fingers are held together by syndesmos, that holds it to the wrist, that holds it to the rest. The ligaments. The bond of peace. The ligaments of peace. That ligament is peace. And we are to guard over, to watch, to make it happen. There is an alertness that's being encouraged here. Preserve this. Be sure to guard it. Don't let it out of your eyes. This is what we're shooting for. In the bond of peace. Peace is a quality of the Holy Spirit, the third listed aspect of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. What's the first two? Love, joy, and peace. And remember, it's always summed up, and the rest. And if any of you have memorized the fourth one? Long suffering, patience. Very good. You guys get the A for the day. But the third one, love and joy and peace, can only come from the Prince of Peace. Peace is dealt with by God many places in the scripture. It is dealt with, and we are told by Jesus in John 14, the peace I give to you is not as the world gives. That's a different kind of peace. That's in a peace by agreement. That's in a peace by oppression. I'm bigger than you. My peace I give to you is different than that. Philippians unfolds it in some way cool ways. Would you please turn to Philippians, just the next book to the right? Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Summed up. Walk it out. Work it out. You are not working to gain salvation. Salvation is established in Jesus by the blood of the Lamb, by grace, through faith only. Now work it out. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Just like Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Without God doing this in you, I'll tell you what, it's not happening. Not for very long. I need God doing this in me. The next verse, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Stop. How was your week? Grumbling and disputing takes us to the opposite area of that ligament thing, the peace. Grumbling and disputing is countering, is fighting, it's antagonism, it's static between another individual or however many other individuals. Keep going. That you may prove yourselves blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach. You don't have a handle to grab onto, an accusation in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Amen. That's where we're living. Among whom you appear as lights in the world. If you're walking the walk in the midst of the darkness, here's a light, and people go toward it, or it's repelling. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run or toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering, he is in prison, prisoner of Christ Jesus. Upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. And you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way. Share your joy with me. The word peace is not listed here, but guess what it pushes toward? Go to chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Yodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony within the Lord. These are two ladies that are probably in the how-to of ministry, can't get along. We don't know any other detail except their name has gone down infamously. Urge them to get along. Do this harmony thing. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. They're in ministry. Together with Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice. Okay, no grumbling and disputing. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. He said that in that last paragraph we read. Again, I say rejoice. To rejoice is to return to the source of your joy. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing Spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near, more to be understood. Probably the Lord is at hand. He is here. He is here now. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. We were chatting, one of my daughters yesterday, about things that some people go through. We call it an anxiety attack. Anxiety attacks have been known to kill people. They duplicate a heart attack in some cases. They hospitalize people. God deals with everything in the scripture. Now, if it's a chemical imbalance, you know, there's a problem. But if it's because of stuff they're going through and not following God's prescription here, it's going to lead to an anxiousness. And he's saying it's a choice, an anxiousness. Be anxious for nothing. What do I do with this problem? Ah, glad you asked. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does that have to do with Ephesians 4? Look at the next verse. And the peace of God, that ligament that holds us together, that is to hold us together, that we are to guard, to focus on, to move toward, to work toward, the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension. It's beyond the mind. It's beyond something you can pick up in the classroom. That peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prescription. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. That is the alternative to dwelling on the things that cause the anxiety. When my mind is over here, then verse 9 kicks in. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 7, the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind. I have to admit openly, candidly, and honestly, I have not arrived yet at this peace place. I still struggle. I still wrestle through the circumstances, sometimes through the personalities. I still wrestle through the things that come to my mind that the president should be doing different, and all the way across the world, as if it's going to make a difference. And God says, okay, are you dwelling on that which is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good reputation, excellence, and worthy of praise? No, I'm dwelling on this stuff because it's so darn important. Huh. Where is it putting you? I heard somebody say once, I don't know how to validate this. When you worry, you are telling God that you believe he is going to fail for the first time in all of history. Oh, man. That kind of takes my breath away a little bit. Okay. Is it because I'm allowing my mind to go to all those places that corrupt my affections, it demands my attention, takes my energy, takes my life away from me? And then in Philippians 4, the bond of peace, preserve the unity of the Spirit, Spirit of God. Spirit of God is in you and it's in me. And the Spirit of God in us is wanting to do this peace thing, even though we see things differently. Our worldview is sometimes different. But this is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I do with that? Okay, what must I do to get to this peace place? Okay, first of all, I need to not focus on your warts, on your blemishes. Typically, when I do that, I'm trying to hide mine from you. Know what I'm saying? The focus is to be on the Lord Jesus mutual in us. And I am to guard that. I'm to keep it in custody. This is what I am shooting for. What we're dealing with here is a difference of opinion. I have no right to attack your heart. Standing in judgment and condemnation, what a bad person you are because your opinion is different than mine. There's a unity of the Spirit. What I find on the other side of this is I have really come to appreciate the opinion of other people. I need help because I fully understand that my glasses don't allow me to see everything clearly as God sees it. He has designed us to be working together. That peace that can keep me in a place of peace that words can't even describe can also be that which keeps you and me moving together like the two joints on my finger added to the third joint. Oh, three of them? Well, you have three people in a room. There will be government. Somebody will become leader in that room. I'll tell you what. Oh, how are you going to deal with that? Our gifts are different. Our tastes are different. And it's okay. The color and the differences, there's something very godly and beautiful there. If we can focus on the right thing. Not on the differences, but on Jesus that is common in both of us, all three of us. So that language continues on down into Philippians chapter 4. This peace, and there's plenty of other scriptures actually to turn and to look at about peace from our Bible. That is one of the names of the Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 6? Uh-oh. Chapter 9. What's that?
9-6.
There's that 6. Preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're taking a little shift here. Please hear me. But the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace does not mean that anything goes. It does not mean that we are to tolerate ungodly behavior. And also this leaves no room for me to do my own thing as if it was all about me. It is not about me and not about you. It is about us. That's why the wording, be diligent to preserve, guard it, make it happen, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is about God working in the individual so as to build up and mature the body of Christ as a whole. Would you join me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as also you, plural, were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of the little joints of that finger of the hand, of the wrist, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the one body of Christ. Brought that down from the above verse. until we all attain to the unity, same word as in verse 3, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, and by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, and that's a different word than syndesmos, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Can you see the big picture here? God has given me privileged responsibilities. And God has given you privileged, you didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it, responsibilities in the working together, in the formulating of maturity, and that's Him at work in us. It's God in you. It's God in you to both will and to work for His good pleasure. It is God in you giving the grace to walk the new walk. Walk this way. No longer walk that way. Walk this way. I'm going to pause. Interaction, questions or comments at this point.
You know, the Greek word for love, you know, philos, eros, and agape. Agape is God love. Is there a special word for the peace? It's God's peace instead of the world's peace.
Same word. Same word. It's just the context that's going to show you where to go with it.
That's why Jesus said, my peace is different than the world's.
My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Right.
Didn't have a different word.
And that is one of His names.
Peace. Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, that Hebrew word.
That is His name. And, you know, last week you asked if anybody had any problems. Well, you know, we had some things going on, and I'm telling you, the reality of Christ being in us, you know, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, I mean, there is reality of Him being able to speak to you and say, okay, now you need to deal with this way, not the way that you want to do it, maybe in anger or whatever. And I mean, it is so incredible, because then you experience the peace. You experience the love and the joy and the forbearance.
Amen. Last week I had to apologize to somebody because I reacted in anger. What I was reacting against, that was very, very off, very wrong. I had to apologize for the anger part. Philippians 4 deals with that. Be angry and sin not. Oh man, I haven't arrived yet. And that peace actually took over in me when I verbalized that to the individual. It really did. Cade, go ahead.
Yeah, all these qualities that are manifest in our walk as we mature as Christians are a real opportunity to see God Himself showing Himself by, just like the spiritual gifts. Those gifts aren't just so we can walk around with those gifts. They are so they can be manifest in the congregation before the whole world to show that God is present and working the people who choose that He has called, by the way. I just want to throw that in there, because nobody comes unless they're called. You know, it's like, you didn't just go one day, I'm going to go look for this guy, Jesus. Not one day, you're in the heart, you're the King of Kings. And then you start wondering. But anyway, but it's to ultimately, it's God. And He's showing Himself in His people who take up in His Word and seek His Spirit. You know, and
good. Thank you. Sabina?
Okay, I wanted to read these two lines. Have care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Yeshua the Messiah.
Okay.
I think some of the times that I experienced what I believe to be pure peace of nothing going on is not the peace of God. It's my peace reconciling with the world and not doing God's work, but flowing with the world. And that's danger. To me, that's danger.
I agree. Peace isn't just a matter of getting along, because I can get along with godless people. I agree with you. Take the warning. That's good.
I was going to ask about, you know, while these are all things that we're to, you know, like we're going to really try to have manifest in our box out in the congregation, what about anxiousness and concerns in prayer, though? Like, you know, when we're like all alone and we're feeling the, you know, the stuff that we go through, you know, there's enough trouble one day and to just go one day at a time and see the Lord. But sometimes, you know, I ask the Lord, it's like, you know, I ask him to forgive me because I'm like, you know, I'm having a hard time.
Okay, let me pause you right there and go to an illustration of Jesus himself in the garden.
Right.
Sweating, as it were, even great drops of blood. My spirit is troubled. Absolutely, but you're before the one that can make the difference. It's not just, oh, yeah, you know, and there's this magical peace. Yes, he was moved. He was very troubled. And he talked about even to the point of death while praying. In fact, that's why praying. So, Cade, there is a place for that. Now, how to separate that from me just worrying and being anxious? God help you in that, man. Because I'm not sure that there's an easy one-size-fits-all solution to that. It will come down to, do I trust him? Do I trust him? He wants me to cast those cares and those burdens on him. He knows already. That's not hidden from him. Going deeper like that because of a certain situation going on, God can meet you right there. And what's really fun about that, what's really cool about that, is that sometimes you can recognize God immediately on the spot. Let me just give a little bit of a story. I hope I'm not keeping you too long. Quite a long time ago, here in ministry, 33 years ago probably, I was involved in rescuing a woman and her children from a violent man. When he found out, he threatened to come and kill me on the telephone. We hung up. I anticipated I was going to hear a vehicle drive up within the hour. Choice one was to go around my house, and I did, and put things in order so it could be figured out if I'm dead. And then I had to ask, am I supposed to, I don't have a gun, or didn't then, stand here with a baseball bat, you know, fire poker, what? Or am I to do anything? I was in this place of prayer, and you can imagine I was getting a little anxious. And there was a knock on the door on this side of my mobile home, right up the hill. And I went to the door, and dear Sister Elizabeth comes here in fellowship still. She's almost fully blind. I opened the door, and Elizabeth had walked through the woods. There wasn't a pathway then. And she said, "And I don't know what you're going through, but God has me praying for your safety." And she kissed me on the cheek, that's not normal, and walked away. The man never came. Some weeks later, family still hidden from him, we reconciled. He got some things in order. He eventually died of his problems. It was a sad thing, and his family is doing well to this day. But I've never forgotten how God met me right there. I didn't anticipate that. I couldn't have imagined, God, I want you to do this. But clearly God was saying, it's okay. And right at that point, Cade, I had a peace here. I did. It was okay. Now, I know full well, if that guy had killed me, I'd have been with the Lord. I knew that. And that's why, Lord, do I defend myself on this particular occasion? Just be still. And then God met me there at the door. So, will it happen that way again? Probably not ever. God's pretty creative. Okay. Stacy, you have a hand up? Romans 8, clear. Very clear. The last third of Romans 8 talks about that very thing. Amen. David?
So, Dan, there were several things that you mentioned that that capture my attention. One of those is learning to listen to someone else.
Thank you.
Learning to appreciate a difference of opinion. But at the same time, there are boundaries to that. And my question would be, and I may not want to try to answer right now, but where are those boundaries? Secondly, how do I differentiate between opinion and correctness? Okay. What about the universal qualities, character qualities, we're to have because we are believers in Jesus? Versus the special gift that seems to go beyond the universal quality. I've just dumped those in your lap.
If you want the right opinion, just call me. I've still got it, you know?
Amen.
Those are the very things we wrestle with in real life. It really is. Where is my focus? Is it on this syndesmos, this ligament that's holding us together? There is a point of confrontation, biblical confrontation, God-led confrontation. There is a place of disorderly contact that has to be dealt with. There is that place. There is a place where I can say, okay, does your opinion and my opinion differing really, is it necessary to separate at this point? And that's what you are teaching on this morning and God willing next Sunday for Sunday school. But it's, I cannot write a book that tells you this is what you do every time. I don't have it in me because it's not going to fit your situation. And that's where the Spirit of God in us can give us the wisdom at that moment. I don't know how to answer all of that question, except I wrestle with that also, those very things.
Part of my response to Cade would be context. Context.
Okay.
It can differ from here to there, depending on other things that are impending upon whatever the situation or the issue is. One of the things I've also learned over the years is most of us have a difficult time to listen to the other party. Instead, we seem to land on a catch word or phrase, and that's what we concentrate on. And if that is not in the context that it's being used, I really screw it up.
Yep. Okay, two more items. Go ahead, Bev, and then.
I was just going to say something comes to mind. Back when I was in college and I was a roommate, we lived in an apartment, and one day we had a disagreement because one of us had done something and the other one misinterpreted the motive. And so we had our disagreement, and then I went to my room because I need to study, but of course I wasn't studying. And the Lord really impressed on me in that situation, and it had nothing to do with scripture or doctrine or the faith. It just had to do with day-to-day living. And the Lord told me, or at least it seemed to me the Lord brought to my mind, it's more important for you to go and reconcile with your roommate than it is to stand on, well, I'm right. I did this out of a right motive. And she thinks I did it out of a wrong motive. And I'm right. I like being right. That's where I was.
Yep.
But,
not saying a word.
You know, the Lord just impressed on me. In this case, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you humble, and you know, you have to humble yourself when you go and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I don't know about you, but those words really stick in my heart.
Remember verse 2? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, and then being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Put that together. Brother, I forgot your name, but go ahead. Arnold.
You know, another word for God, or another phrase for God's law is His rules for relationships. You know? And so if you're dealing with people within the bounds of biblical law, you can exercise a harmony of interest. And everybody helps one another. That's a beautiful thing. If you don't have that, like in Michigan, the management and the labor, they would have a 2,000-page contract defining their relationship. And you couldn't make a change without teams of lawyers negotiating, working it out. It's a conflict of interest-based thing. And it makes everything difficult. And all your jobs go to China or something. And so it's so much better for us to live within the context of biblical law where we can trust each other and have that harmony of interest. Then life is beautiful.
Good. Thank you. God is at work, and I believe there's evidence of God at work in so many right here in this room. He has promised He will finish that work when we see Jesus. Philippians 1:6. Pray for one another. I believe where we have conflict, where we have static on the line between us, that's a place to go before the Lord and pray for His solve there. Whatever that might be. It might be me changing an opinion, it might be you changing an opinion, but Lord, what is your direction? Bev's illustration is perfect right there. I'd like to go back to worshiping Him in this next song, kind of culminating this teaching. It gets bigger and deeper as we go down into this chapter and the next two chapters after that. There's so much here, but remember, this is the privileged place, the calling, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Now here, job responsibility, privileged responsibilities. He's called us to a high calling, and He will help us to work it out.